When you look at this story, it's easy to see this is another one of the stories out of the Bible, but I want it to use it for the purpose of introducing a question that we all have, and it goes like this. Could a simple invitation change somebody's life? If you're looking to impact somebody's life, we look and we go, what resources do I have? What do I have to give? And then we start questioning, you know, our personalities, and we start pre-thinking. Have you ever wanted to invite somebody to something, but, you know, you already start thinking about what their anticipated reaction is going to be? And before you know it, you've already just decided how it's going to go, so you either go ahead and extend that invitation on the comfort level you think that is going to be there, or if it's not going to be comfortable, we usually withdraw it and decide that it wasn't worth it. That's usually the two extremes, and in between there's a whole lot of variables. But the question still remains, could it be that a simple invitation could change somebody's life? And I believe that it could. The problem is that in the midst of all of that, especially in the church, we start asking ourselves questions like, am I doing enough? And we put ourselves under this condemnation about what we are doing or not doing. How many people we've touched or not touched? Are we accomplishing anything? Are we seeing anything change? And the same thing comes back to it. It could be that a simple invitation could be something that could change all that. And I believe that it could. This woman didn't have any power in and of herself. She didn't have anything but her story. What was her story? Her story was, you know what, I've had four husbands, and the guy I'm living with right now is the fifth in line. And you think that's a real powerful testimony that people want to rally around? But all she said was, come and see what happened to me. Come and see this man that I met. And she asked this question, could this be the Christ? There's a lot of people that you and I want to touch in our lives, but I'll tell you, the thing is that a lot of those we've already decided that we don't have anything to give them, but the thing that we want to give them is not us anyway, it's Christ. So let's be prepared to go there, because we do want to accomplish things, and could it be that a simple invitation is the very thing that they're looking for as well? It's amazing how that we have this power within us that we think we do anyway, this perception of what other people are thinking, but we don't. We have no idea what they're thinking. I'm up here preaching to you right now, and all I see is your faces. And oh, if I filled in the blanks with some of the faces that I get when I preach. I got to tell you, it would be a suicidal intervention every week if I had to interpret all of the looks that I get when I'm preaching and go, oh, dear God, if I had to live on that impression, if those looks alone get me there, then I'm done. And everybody knows it. And we joke about it all we want. But the thing is that if I pre-think all of that, then you know what? I'm probably deciding what you think. And what I need to do is I need to decide who I am and what Christ has called me to do and just give the invitation. Jesus showed us how powerful an invitation is. And here again, here's stories that are just, they're biblical mentions more than stories at this point in our life. I have to believe that if you're here on Sunday night on Mother's Day, that you've been down the road a little bit with church. Or either somebody has chained you to the pew. I don't know. One or the other, you're here. And you probably heard these stories, but there's no way that whether you put it on video or whether you try to just read it or whether you try to just imagine in your mind the power of what happened the day that Jesus saw Peter and he said, follow me. Two words, follow me. That's all Jesus said. Now, of course, the disclaimer is, well, of course, that's Jesus. If I saw Jesus, I'd follow him too. Well, you know what? All Peter thought him as was a rabbi at that point. It was the miraculous things around him that he's drawn to. But he says, follow me, and boom, he left his nets and followed him. There's another guy in Matthew, the 9th chapter, Matthew, who said, listen, you know, I am a tax collector. You really don't need to be around me. But Jesus said, follow me, and he left everything. Now, there was another person called the rich young ruler in Scripture, and he came to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, what must I do to go to heaven? He was asking the right question. Jesus told him, go and do all the commandments. And he said, I've done all of those ever since I'm a kid. I'm a great guy. I mean, I'm plugged in. I do all the right things. He said, well, then you lack one thing. He said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And the Bible says that this guy had been given the invitation, follow me as well. Jesus, what Jesus said, the Bible says he turned away sad. You see, people have the opportunity to make the choice, but they don't have the opportunity to give the invitation. We're the ones that give the invitation. We're the ones that simply say, can I help you? What is the circumstance here? And why is a simple invitation so important? May I remind you that people still matter to God and that you still matter to God? Now, those are so church cliche-ish that it just goes right over our head. Of course we know we matter to God. Then why during the week when things really go wrong do we wonder where God is? It's because we've forgotten that God really cares about us and that we do matter to God. The thing is that God just wants to use us as that opportunity of invitation to just remind somebody else that God is here and sent me here to remind you that He knows that you matter. You matter to me, you matter to Him, so we want to make sure that we take care of that. In Matthew the 18th chapter and also in Luke the 15th chapter, there's a story of the lost sheep. And Jesus is talking about the shepherd. Not He is the shepherd. We get into John the 10th chapter, He talks about Him being the good shepherd. But He tells a story about a shepherd. And He says He has, evidently He has 100 sheep. And 99 of them are just doing just fine, but one of them is lost. One of them gone somewhere. And the shepherd left the security of the 99 and He went to go find the one. Now here's the thing that we and I need to understand, is that if people don't matter to God, why did He go to the one? Because 99 is a lot better than one. I mean, I still have 99. Won't we just hang in there with that? But that's not the important issue there. Every single person and every single thing matters to God and matters to you, and it matters to Him, and He wants to make sure that we always are aware of the value of just one person. So could a simple invitation be what changes somebody's life? I believe that the answer, of course, is yes. So what are we inviting them to? Well, we're in church tonight, so here's the things that we invite some people to. Number one, we invite them to give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite them to have a personal encounter, a personal relationship with Jesus. How many of you fully understood what that was when you gave your heart to Jesus? I mean, I got to be honest with you. I couldn't have written a paper on what I was doing. I couldn't have given you a clear understanding as to what I was doing. I didn't know all the answers, and I certainly didn't know all the scriptures. All I knew was this, is that God wanted me, God loved me, God died for me, and that I was a sinner at that point. And you know what? The funny thing was I wasn't feeling guilty. I was feeling empty. Now, some of you, maybe it was the guilt route. Some of you who have been in church a long time and you knew better than to go the route you went, and maybe you rebelled or whatever and you came back. And maybe it was guilt that got you there. Maybe some of you were just convicted over some of the things you did. I don't know. But this isn't about how much you know. It's about who knows you. And God knows you. God knows us. So if He loves us that much, then we need to make sure that we're still aware of the one that needs that as well. He also calls us to church. He calls us to come and be in the atmosphere to where we can have a great life and do the great things and be encouraged by others. Some of you, the greatest value of tonight's service will not be what I say, will not be the songs we sing. It'll be that handshake that you had. It'll be that just rubbing shoulders with somebody else. That may be the only value that you have tonight, but it's called fellowship. And it's something you did that made this day as significant as it's going to be. But here's something else that God calls all of us to do. He calls us to do better than we're doing right now. Really, the sad thing about most Christians is that they feel like there's this level that we need to obtain. There's this cap on our Christianity. They went to so far, and whether it's defined by church attendance, or whether it's defined by I know this many scriptures, or whether it's defined on, what we do during the week and how many times I read my Bible, there seems to be this ceiling that we have unofficially put on our existence, and God is inviting us to go further. He's saying, listen, right around the corner, there's something really, really awesome. Right around the bend. Most of us think that that's when you die. That only the good stuff really happens when you die. I don't know why, but we've got into this cycle to where we think, really, you know what Christianity is all about? It's about getting Jesus in your life because you're a sinner and you need to be saved. So you get saved and you go to church and you do all these things. But then when you die, you really get to have the good stuff. I mean, we get to go to heaven, the streets of gold. We're out of here, all this other stuff. We think that heaven's a rescue. No. It's your reward. Down here on earth, there's so many things that we still get to enjoy. And we still get to have. And we need to just start just pushing ourselves past these limits. We think the invitation is for everybody else once we're in church. But really, the invitation still extends itself to you and I. And sometimes we don't know what to do with how this makes us feel. Let me take you to Luke, the 5th chapter. It says, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God, and this was when Jesus was beginning to do some of His miraculous, works. It says that He stood by the lake and He saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and they were washing their nets. Then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. This is Peter, who was renamed later, and asked him to put out a little bit from the land. And He sat down and He taught the multitudes from the boat, which He had stopped speaking. And He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we have told all night, and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking, so that they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. I don't know if God's still laying out an invitation to you to go somewhere, to be something, to do something, regardless of your age, regardless of where you're doing, regardless of your experiences, or if you've grown weary of asking others to come to Christ. How many of you have lost loved ones? You don't have to raise your hand, but you know, there's people that you know. I mean, your heart is broken for them because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, tonight on the way home, I am going to get on my phone. I'm going to call Florida, Panama City, Florida, to be specific. It's where my brother is. And I got the call the other day that my brother's been evicted. My brother has lost his truck. We don't even know where he's at. Called him the other day, had a very brief conversation with him, asked him to call me back tomorrow. I hadn't heard from him. I'm going to call him tomorrow. You know, the whole thing is this. The minute I quit calling is the minute we've given up on my brother Andrew. And the minute we quit inviting people to a place in their life that they may not know about and not fully understand, and sometimes it's just called church, the minute we quit asking them, the minute that is when we've given up on them. Now, I'm not trying to lay a load of guilt on you. I'm just telling you that's how severe and that's important it is. But here's an encounter where, you know, Peter said, listen, you're a great rabbi, you're a wonderful teacher and everything, but let me just tell you something. You just keep preaching and we'll keep fishing, but let me tell you what, we've been out there all night. We know what's out there and there's nothing out there. It's not happening. Some of you have gone fishing and you're going, you know, they're just not biting. Now, I've never been in that situation because every time I go, they're not biting. But sometimes you've been in there, you're going, I don't know. You know, and you don't know what, you change bait, you know, get upwind, downwind, whatever you do. You know, you spit on your bait, you get stink bait, you know, whatever it is. I don't know what, but you just get weary about that. And, you know, and sooner or later, you just pack it up and go home. And we do that almost all the time. When you invite your neighbor to come to church or you tell somebody at work, once again, you know, Jesus is the answer. And we just get tired of doing it. And we start deciding, you know what, there's nothing there. And can I just tell you, just throw out your net one more time. I tell you what, there's a lot of things that we've rehearsed about when we leave this earth, what we'll do. Some of us really want to be in that situation to where we're able to say what Jesus said. Lord, into my hands I commend my spirit. Whatever. Maybe there's a saying, maybe there's something you've rehearsed. I got to tell you, one of the greatest things that you could do as a last minute effort before you leave earth is be caught dying in the act of asking. Be caught dying in the fame of just inviting someone. You know, if your family rallies around you and there's one of those things where you know that it's imminent unless God gives you a miracle, then tell them about Jesus. Invite them to Jesus one more time. And it's not because we're Christians, and it's not because we're dying, it's because what we do all the time. Because if you haven't rehearsed that, you're not going to do it at the very end as well. And at the very end, you're just going to do what you've always done. I'm just telling you, there's a lot more out there, and it's on the other side. Just cast it out there one more time. So let me end with this. Question and answer, and then a couple of questions. How many invitations do you deny? Now, if you have an invitation to a wedding, you either accept it or you don't. You have an invitation to a shower, you accept it or you don't. You have somebody call you and says, hey, we'd like to come have you over for dinner Friday night, you accept it or don't. But I'm going to tell you what, you automatically say no to every invitation that you never receive. Have you ever thought about that? You automatically say no to every invitation that you never receive. You know why? Because the person who never gave the invitation already decided for you. Now, you can take that as a guilt trip on the church all you want, but it's not. I hope it's encouraging. I hope it opens up again, once again, this part of our life. I don't know why this hand's trying to preach, but this part of our life that just says, you know what? I have been focusing on whether this person would come to church or not. I've been focusing on whether they will still like me after this. I've been focusing on whether they really understand their circumstances. I've been focusing on whether they'll say yes or not. What we really need to be focusing on is just doing the inviting. And letting them decide whether they'll receive it or not. That's their job. Our job is to simply invite them. Let me give you five questions real quick. What if we had the heart of the shepherd and went looking for that one? Just that one. Now, the one doesn't have to be a rebellious one. It doesn't have to be someone who's out here saying, I don't care what you say, I'm never going to church. I hated it as a child. I had to go. My kids, my mom and dad made me go. And they have all these stories. I'm not talking about just them. I'm just talking about the one that God lays on your heart. Because they're lost for a reason, but you may not know that reason. And who cares? The caring part is whether you go and you take care of them. You have a shepherd's heart, then go. Find them. And I don't know the situation of the 99. I really don't. But I do have to believe that there was no way that the shepherd left the 99 in a situation of peril. I don't believe he left them in a situation where they could be attacked by wolves and everything else. Let's just concentrate on being that shepherd going and find him. The second question is this. What if we really embrace the power and the significance of an invitation? You see, if you invite me to something and I don't want to go, there's something that registers in me that you cared enough about me to even invite me in the first place. I may hate it. I may not want to go in. I promise you that if you ever invite me to a Gaither sing-along, I may say no. And that's a real Christian event, and please don't be offended by that, okay? And it's not because I don't love the music. I can sing that music and everything. I just don't see myself doing that. But you know what? I'm not going to go to what? Winter, what was it? Winter Jam. Yeah, where you come back with a sword. That's, I'm not going there either, okay? But it'd be really cool if you said, hey, Dave, we're packing up, getting low. Do you want to go? At least I was included. At least I had the opportunity to say no. So you know what? Let's just not forget the power and the significance of an invitation. Because you know what? It might be that invitation, whether it's denied or accepted, that lets them know that you value them to the point that you have invited them. I've got some neighbors that I don't know that they're about ready to kill me, but there's one. He's a Vietnam vet. And he's a hardened dude. I'm telling you what, he is a hard dude. Because all of our conversations, he spends half of the conversations apologizing for his rhetoric. You know, he says, pardon my French. Well, he doesn't even pardon his French. He just, you know, he says, well, I know you're a preacher, but it just doesn't stop him. He says words. And can I just tell you, if you're a Mexican or if you're black, don't go at his house. Don't stop in front of his house and ask me. I mean, this guy has got... But you know, I see him all the time, and I tell you, it's awesome. Every Veterans Day, he knows I'm going to come to his house and invite him to this church because he's a veteran, and we love veterans. And if he comes to Christ or not, he's going to die knowing that this church loves veterans. You know, we can do that. The third question is this. What would our life look like if we focused our attention on inviting and giving others the opportunity to come to church or come to Christ or to a better life? What would our life be like? What would we change? We talk about other people. And I understand that. God says that he wants us to be about other people. We've been preaching on Sunday morning about Connect Four. Our first Sunday was being fully devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ so that he knows who we are and we know who he is. And all of that so that we can have loving relationships we talked about this morning, so that we can love others. And that's awesome that we do that. But in the midst of all of this, what would our life look like? Some of us, there's things that we're not experiencing because we're holding back, deciding for others whether they should be a part of it or not. Invite them to your small group and ask them to come to church. Tell them that Jesus is the way. They'll love you for it. The fourth question is this. Where's the change that we're looking for and talking about? Could it be, and here's the last question, could it be that it's in us? We always look for superficial things to do the work of changing us, and sometimes it's a simple decision within us. We're looking for something. You know, my prayer for my brother Andrew, he's down in Panama City. I'm not going to be there physically unless the Lord just leads me or opens the door. I pray every day. I say, God, I just pray that somebody walks in Andrew's life. And it makes a difference. And here's the sad thing. There's a guy named David Bauer that called us the other day, called my brother. My brother called me. And this is how we got this. This guy has lent some tools and some other things to my brother so he could keep working. He's not a Christian, but he cares enough about my brother to somehow loan him up to the extent of about $5,000 just to keep him in business so that his alcoholism and other circumstances don't cause him to end up dead. And this guy doesn't go to church, but he sees a friend that's in trouble. We know how to be a friend. Isn't the root of an invitation just simply being a friend, being someone that cares enough to befriend somebody? Let them reject us if we want to. Let them say no to the invitation, but don't decide for them by withholding that invitation. Because I know it's in all of us. I know it's in all of us. We have a blast every year when we do VBS. because we have a offering competition, and it's amazing what you can do when you tell kids, say, oh, you bring your money, boy versus girl, you know, and if I win, then Miss Jana, who used to be here, this would happen to her, and then if she wins, this would happen to me. And I'm going to tell you what, the money pours in. It's amazing. Those kids start going out there and go, Mom, Dad, we're going to have the money. Just the money motivated, you know? And it's fun when we do that. We really do. But then you do that with attendance. With the kids, kids will invite anybody. They don't care who you are. They'll invite you.
Hey, we're doing this thing Saturday. Come to our church. Really, it's awesome.
And they'll show up. I don't know where. I don't know what age it is, but it's probably somewhere around 10, 11, 12. That starts tapering off into that's not cool anymore. And we've really become a culture of it's not cool. Just leave me alone. Because I'm going to pull into my garage, and I'm going to shut the door, and I'm going to go watch the news. And if I'm going to hang out, it's going to be behind the privacy fence in my backyard. We don't do front yard stuff anymore. So you know what? The invitation's a little bit tougher nowadays. It's not the norm. It's the exception. So you know what? You do have to go and knock on a couple of doors. And you may have to go down that cubicle or two and invite that person that you don't know that well, but you see them on your way to lunch every day. You know, just find a way to invite them. Well, let me ask you to accept one last invitation, and that's the invitation to pray for us and for them tonight. Pray, God, what do you want to do in me? And God, what's the invitation you want me to extend? Could it be that simple? I believe it could. Can it be that simple that an invitation could change somebody's life? Could you see what? Could a simple invitation save someone's life? Absolutely. It could change your life. The invitation that I give to you tonight is to be that person that makes that change. Stand to your feet. Guys, come give us just a little music. We're going to ask the Lord to just minister to us tonight. I'm going to ask you to do this tonight before we leave, that you would just somehow in the midst of your life, whether it's an Ed that's a Vietnam vet, or whether it's somebody that you're thinking, wow, you know, I've seen them, I see them all the time, but I can't remember the last time I invited them to anything or invested into their life. Yeah, somebody that I'm real comfortable in work, but you know what, I just think that maybe I need to open up that avenue of conversation again. But also, let's ask the question ourselves. God, what are you inviting me to tonight? Because a lot of us have satisfied ourselves in certain things, and God says, I want you to go further. I want you to dig. I want you to accept my invitation to not just have a life, but I'll have a life abundantly. Not to just know who I am, but to know me thoroughly. To the point to where you would run to the town and say, come and see the person who knew everything about me, and he changed my life. Father, as we embrace you tonight, and before we leave tonight and sing one song, God, I pray that you would just put somebody on our mind. I pray whoever they are at this very moment, we'll begin to pray for them. We'll begin to see them in our mind. Father, there's two things that we want to happen in the next few moments, and that is that you give us a passion and a compassion for someone. God, and we may have to leave the flock. We may have to go out of our comfort zone. We may have to go a little bit further. We may have to spend an extra 10 minutes with an invitation. It may take us a little bit out of our path, just like it did you to meet the Samaritan woman. It may cost us a few extra minutes, but put that person on our mind, Lord God, that we need to make a connection with and just to offer them the invitation to know who you are. God, we don't have to sell you. You sell yourself. We just have to offer the opportunity for them. We don't have to save them. You're the one that does the saving. But God, without an invitation, we've already decided that they do not deserve to be saved. And we know that that's not how we feel. Deep down inside, that's not how we think. But God, it's the way we behave if we withhold the invitation. And Lord, I pray that in the next few moments, we will receive and we will accept the invitation that you have to us to take our life where it is to where it ought to be. To take our life from where it is to where you want it to go. To take our life to a place that we thought we already had because we go to church. We're good people. We love each other. But oh God, there's something deep inside that you want to do, and it's just simply called more. So we ask that of you tonight, Father. We receive that invitation big time. Now I pray we respond to it in Jesus' name. Let's spend this last chorus just focusing on those people and accepting that invitation before we leave tonight. Pastor John, close us out in prayer, but you guys lead us in this worship song first.